Blog Talk Radio.
The Young Cash from the Outlaw. It's your boy Al Capone.
What's up, and it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy Uncle Luke.
What up, y'all?
This is E-Shop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy C-Murd, and I'm chilling with my boy Scott Bader, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Episode 160 of the Murder Master Music Show. Got one hell of a guest here tonight. This is, well, first off, let me bring in my co-host, Mac J. How you doing, Mac?
Good, bro. I'm good.
Yeah, we got, for those of you listen, yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Hopefully we won't have no technical difficulties with this bullshit-ass blog talk tonight. But we got one of the, to me, one of the hardest revolutionary rappers there is, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Public Enemy came out, obviously, made a huge impact, you know, but Paris, when he came out, man, 89-90, his shit was just so in your face, you couldn't help but to take notice. You know, I was a white kid growing up seeing it, and I was like, wow, man, you know what I'm saying? This is powerful shit, you know, and it really resonated with a lot of folks, and, dude, and then the Bush Killer. You know, we're going to get into that, too.
Mm-hmm.
The infamous cover that got banned. He was behind a tree about to snipe out old man Bush.
He probably was, like, one of the first ones to be getting his songs banned from and the videos from MTV and all that. They used to hate on him back in the day and shit. I remember that shit.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely ain't forgot.
No. We definitely ain't forgot. Let's bring him on right now. The one, the only, Paris. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on? Peace.
Man, huge honor to not only add you to the archive, but just to be able to interview you again, man. Recently, you put out a video, Night of the Long Knives, and got a lot of attention real quick, basically due to what's going on.
Right.
Is that what made you want to put that song out there? Because it's powerful as hell.
Oh, right on, man. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, you know, that railing against the police is not new to me for anybody that's followed my career. And what I'm noticing is just a kind of a stagnant period that we got going on in hip-hop. There's a lull in folks, you know, speaking on issues. And for those that do speak on issues, it's too hard to find them. Shit, you know, because the airwaves and the TV waves, you know, both for TV shows and for radio. If that's what you're relying on to get your hip-hop, then I feel for you, because there's only really a handful of people that get exposure on these major outlets. And so there is material that speaks to how people feel out there. You just have to look for it harder than you ever had to look for it before. So, you know, thank God for the internet and for YouTube, honestly, you know. But The trouble really is, though, that there's a glut of material, and you really got to fish for what you're looking for. So that's kind of why I started Gorilla Funk after 9/11 to reach out, you know, to like-minded artists and to be able to allow us an avenue by which to reach people. So what happened was a few years back I had a record called Sonic Jihad, which was in response to what I believe to be the self-inflicted wound of 9/11.
False flag attack.
Right, exactly. And what ended up happening was, you know, of course, there was a huge blowback against that project and against anybody that was voicing dissent in that era of fake patriotism right after that event. Because, you know, the media, everything was USA first, everything was, we could do no wrong, Bush could do no wrong, you know, green light and blank check, green lights and blank checks for any kind of war effort, for any kind of suppression of dissent, for any kind of tactics to supposedly keep us safe. You know, we wholeheartedly embraced, and any artists that came out that was speaking against that got shut down. And in any genre, you know, hip-hop has been, for the most part, overall, has been brain dead for quite a while, and has been kept artificially young and artificially dumb for quite a while. And so it wasn't really a surprise to me that there weren't a lot of voices in hip hop. But you know, when the Dixie Chicks get shut down, you know, and when some of these rock acts that I know have a history of speaking out and raging against the machine, so to speak, when they started getting shut down, and when distributors that I could traditionally rely on to distribute my material, because I'm a pretty consistent seller, even in these times where, you know, everybody is stealing everything. When I start having issues getting put out, then, you know, I had to take a closer look at what was going on. And I had to make that record available through Germany and through a distributor in Germany and available here as an import. I've never had to go through changes like that before. And the record did well, and Gorilla Funk expanded, and I ended up getting a deal with EMI behind it as a result of his success. And then I started reaching out to my comrades, basically, to Public Enemy and Dead Prez and Immortal Technique and Cam and T-Cash and all the people that I've been dealing with for some time now. And basically started putting out projects that featured their material, because it was really difficult to be heard. So yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, yeah, and here we are. You know, it's been 25 years since The Devil Made Me Do It, and things haven't changed.
Mercy.
Matter of fact, it's gotten worse.
You're killing me,
it's
man.
You're
right. It has been. It's been quite a while, man. Somebody sent me said it was a 20-year anniversary of Gorilla Funk, like a couple of days ago or whenever that was. I think it might have been my partner. Right on, you know, and still here and still unapologetic and unwavering in my conviction. And I think that is the thing that resonates the most with people. It's like, this cat is still doing it and still, you know, representing what he believes in and basically still staying the course. And
right.
I can't really say that for everybody, you know, honestly.
No.
You know, I don't have to mention no names because those who know. But I do know that I appreciate the ability to have a voice and to speak on behalf of folks who feel voiceless. And it's very easy to feel voiceless right about now. And even in this news cycle where there's something for everybody, there's still a large group of us that really don't feel like anybody is speaking to us.
Yes, you're right.
So
you're
hopefully
right.
I can, you know, because you can cherry pick your news now. You know, if you're conservative, you go to Fox. If you're liberal, you go to MSNBC. If you're kind of in the middle, you go to CNN. And you can hear whatever reaffirms how you already feel no matter what, right? So if you pro-police and you kind of think every black man is a thug anyway and you want that party line told, you go on over to Fox and you get your fill. If you are on the opposite side of the coin and, you know, you lean toward whatever liberal argument that happens to be out there, you go to MSNBC, you get your fill, right? And these entities are set up to profit off the fact that people are predisposed to feel certain ways and will gravitate towards what it is that makes them comfortable. And that's why we have such a huge political divide. That's why we have such a huge racial divide in this country. That's why so many things remain in a constant state of tension, because there's money to be made off of tension.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's money and exploitation to be had by disunity. And so, you know, if you recognize the signs, you can really pick up on that and navigate your way around that. And that's you know, pretty much what I've been doing my whole career.
You got to be open-minded, and you got to be willing to see past the media spin, which creates division. Like right now, the injustice that happened to Michael Brown and the injustice that happened to Mr. Green, people are spinning it into black and white. So you got a bunch of ignorant white people on some racist shit. I've seen ignorant black people on some racist shit. I'm part of the group in the middle. You know what I mean? Where it's white, it's black, it's Latino, it's Asian, and we're all like fed up and angry. You know what I'm saying? And I know you're in that fucking middle too. You're in that group that's just like, okay, this is right, this is wrong, this needs to be addressed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they've been doing shit to motherfuckers, man.
You know what I'm saying? You can create the division and profit from it. And that's that's where, you know, that's what you see on TV. That's what you, I mean, that's what you see with the Sharptons and the, you know, you can fill in the blank, man. It doesn't really even matter. I don't even need to call anybody out. You know, it's like there are people who are set up to benefit from these types of situations. And people say, well, you know, our do-nothing Congress, you know, our system is broke. Our system is not broken. Our system is doing exactly what it's set up to do. And that's what people realize. You know, Congress is supposed to be in limbo and ineffective. Because in limbo and ineffective maintains the status quo.
There
is no change.
You sure know what to say with that.
You know what I'm saying?
This shit been going on. This ain't no new shit. People acting like it's new shit. But, you know, like I'm here in St. Louis, and these folks, you know, you got a whole lot of people split because you got, when they try to say it's a racial divide, it's causing divide in between the same races. Because you got some black folks that they ain't feeling what the other black folks feeling. And then you got, you know what I'm saying? So you got a lot of people looking at it this way. I always look at that looting shit. That's all criminal opportunists. Anybody would do that. If they know the police all on that street and they can steal shit over here, everybody that steals shit going to go to that area. But that might not necessarily mean they had nothing to do with the protest, but because people are protesting, they're going to take advantage of that type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Man, that's the opportunism. That's the opportunism.
You know what I'm saying? They just, they're looking at the opportunity.
By a certain point, though, too, is that, to me, there's very little that is effective about a protest.
Yeah.
I think that exists as a way for people to vent, for people to be
around
like-minded folks. And I think it is a way to control and contain anger that we'll feel. So when you talk about protests, you know, we have protests, but shit, man, you know, everything that I've seen that we've ever protested, the things that we're railing against occur anyway.
Yeah.
Shit, we protested the Iraq War. I mean, and I remember the lead up to that, and I remember, you know, Colin Powell reading his little bullshit statement to the United Nations and making the argument for us going to war in Iraq. And I remember millions of people in cities around the world, and specifically millions of people in the United States, though, in Chicago and Detroit and L.A. and up here in the Bay and New York, and people were in the streets, I mean, hella deep, saying, don't do it, you know, and elected officials didn't listen. And so the end result is that they did what they want to do anyway, which is usually the case, you know, like Obama's bombing shit, babies, you know. It's like, okay, well, I disagree with that shit, and you don't get a pass because you're black fucking with me, you know, but they do what they want to do.
Right.
So the only thing that a protest for me really does is potentially has me interacting with the police in a way that I don't want to.
Exactly,
man. I'm not trying to interact with them.
They got all the military shit. I've seen it.
There's no way that you're going to win in a one-on-one situation. And, I mean, if you want to get some guerrilla shit going, that guerrilla warfare, like the overthrow of Batista's regime in Cuba, for example, was guerrilla warfare. That was the will of the people handling business that they had to do, but that was sniper attacks. And it was a whole different approach. It wasn't just like a straight-up one-on-one, let's get it on thing, because we'll get murked doing that. And what I'm trying to make people realize is that, okay, you know, when you protest, 9 times out of 10, you're asking permission for your protest. You got to get a permit. You got to show up. People putting all the information on social media about where they're going to meet to protest and all that shit is absolutely ineffective to me.
Gives the police time to gather. They're trained.
And COINTELPRO, if you're not up on it, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody that's listening to this show is up on what COINTELPRO is, and that is, in effect, that's a very real phenomenon that I think people who are a part of the narcissistic culture that we live in completely miss out on, you know. And if you're on social media, you got some narcissism about you. You do. I mean, shit, everybody is guilty of it. Everybody wants to put their best foot forward. Everybody wants to get that right picture and all that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? And that is the nature of the social media beast. And if you're on there, then of course, more often than not, you're sharing more information than you need to, you know, and putting your business out there. And there's a kind of a component of narcissism to this, to the younger generation, that is cool with being hood famous. You know, they want to get as many views as possible on whatever silly shit they post, you know, and that is what ends up hooking them. So you have a video, you put it out, it goes viral, and then, you know, you're trying to feed the beast, and you're trying to make more, and you're trying to get more hits. You're trying to be more, for, you know, and sadly, a lot of young ladies think they can go to Kim Kardashian route and put something together like that for them and get famous. And it's just, that's an exception to the rule, you know. And I think that a lot of times, well, I know for a fact that a lot of times things that you post online come back to bite you in the ass later. It can with employers. It can with law enforcement. You know, I had a homeboy that got killed out here outside of Stockton in Lathrop, which is, about 45 minutes east of the Bay. And he got shot out at a club outside in the parking lot after a rap show. And the fool that did it posted a bunch of shit online, bragging and shit on YouTube, and got hemmed up as a result of basically telling on himself. And
yeah.
So that's a perfect example of...
He first 48 is with the quickness.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
That's a perfect example of what we did.
Rest in peace to your homie, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right on. Thank you.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
But that's the type of world we live in, and that's the type of shit that happened. Like... You know what I'm saying? Like, out here, it ain't no surprise that Mike Brown got killed by a police officer, man. They do this shit all the time, man. But when they twisted it and spent it, and they hit an agenda because of the social media. So many people posted that shit, and it went viral real quick. Mm-hmm. They had to sensationalize it, so to speak.
But, I mean,
to the point where...
Yeah, and it needs to be.
Because, for real, like, this other riot wasn't shit. But the first part, that's when the police really show you what they capable of and what they do. So I wasn't surprised by the verdict shit. And, man, that was expected. They planned. All that shit was set up, man.
Well, another guy, not to cut you guys off, but another guy, do you guys remember the man with Down syndrome in the movie theater, who the cops, he didn't want to leave the movie theater, so the cops got on top of him and suffocated him, kind of like they did Mr. Green, and no indictment. So they're killing people with Down syndrome. They're killing children, you know, like the 12-year-old boy in Cleveland. At what point, Paris, do the people have finally had enough, or do you think that the people are just too far brainwashed that they can never gather?
Honestly, I think that there right now exists too many outlets for people to vent their, you know. Social media, for example, people feel like that, you know, that this Twitter activism that's going on, like that's actually doing something to improve people's condition, and it doesn't, you know. But it's a way to placate people, and it's a way to make you feel as though you're being involved in something, you know. Some shit about a hashtag. What the fuck is that? You know, stop this motherfuckers from shooting us. That's what I'm talking about, you know. And the hashtag thing, and, you know, this kind of armchair activism shit that people do, is a way to make folks feel, so, you know, is a way to make you feel better about yourself, is a way to make people be in like-minded company, you know, and a way make people feel as though they're overcoming the inertia of sitting around and doing nothing, and it's not. That's not the case. It's like a online petition. You know how many online petitions I get in my email? Save such and such a spotted owl or some bullshit. You know, and it's like none of that means anything. It really doesn't. You know, and the reality is we cry, we jump up and down and act a fool in public. And I'm not taking away anything from how people feel, because I know people feel, very real emotions surrounding this, right? But I also know that a lot of the outlets that we've been afforded exist so that we can only vent, and nothing concrete happens as a result. You know, you have Obama come out, he'll make a speech, sing some Al Green and some shit for you, and then go on about your business. And you know, we
shucking jive.
You know, or for example, the shit in Ferguson. You know, they wait all this time until right before Thanksgiving. People tired of being out there. They're cold. You know.
Yes, it snowed the day before Thanksgiving. Like the whole setup was crazy.
And
they didn't even have
an
army where they should have been at. The army was in front of banks.
If they're planning strategically, deciding when the most opportune moment is to reveal everything, they're going to wait. They're going to wait until, you know, people who have pre-existing obligations to family, you know, and travel and all that, you know, they're not trying to be down there through Thanksgiving. So, you know, you got to decide on what's more important, your protest or your turkey. You know, they take all that into account. And what I'm saying is these permits that you, I mean, these are protests, again, that you have to get a permit to have in the first place, exists for the most part to make people have the opportunity to vent and to squash anger and to basically mute the outrage of the people.
And like you said, with the permit that you got to pay for, that permit too, right? So these permits, somebody exchange in dollars somewhere.
I have no idea. I never applied for a permit, but I know you got to get it. Because they'll say it's unlawful assembly, and then they'll roll you up for that. And, you know, being as we already have an adverse relationship with the police, I'm not trying to mix it up with them on some bullshit like that.
Yeah,
because this is
That's what I've been on here. When the shit hit the fan, I'm moving out the way, man, because I already know what they do. They already showed me. I'm 36 years old, so I done seen enough to know what the fuck they do. You know what I'm saying?
I just try to
teach my kids how to move around when shit going down and to keep their eyes open and don't just fall for nothing. Don't be that dude that's just running out there. Because you had people coming from other places that had nothing to do with Ferguson, don't live nowhere out here. They can go home at night. But them people still got to live there. You know what I'm saying?
They do that shit in Oakland. They do that shit in L.A. and Frisco. They do that everywhere.
Yeah, right now, Berkeley.
Shit coming down to Oakland. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that phenomenon has been in effect, and you know police brutality has been in effect. It's just we now have this 24-hour news cycle, and we have this social media that hits everything, and doesn't let shit die. So they could ride it till the wheels fall off, you know. And as long as something else bigger doesn't come around, it's going to continue to get attention.
Yeah, right. That's real
you
shit.
You sure know what to say.
let's give them a sample. Let's play Night of the Long Knives. I encourage people, go to YouTube and watch the video.
Yeah.
The video is very dope powerful.
Video.
This video, Night of the Long Knives, Light of the Long Knives is the first single off of the new album, Pistol Politics, which comes out. Looks like it's going to be early February. I believe it's going to be the 3rd of February if I can't get it moved up a little bit sooner. It's going to depend on my distributor. But basically it's about police brutality and what I believe the response to police brutality is, and that's an eye for an eye. I believe that with all of my heart. It's not a gimmick. It is conviction that I have. I believe that everything else is lip service. And I think that we are now at a point in time where the obvious has to be acknowledged, and that is we are dying at the hands of police, and everything else short of armed resistance in response to that is bullshit. So this is Night of the Long Knives, a Murder Master Music show.
Yeah.
Fuck a pig, it's the right call. gang whistles and pistols at nightfall. Bang on them for the lives that remain lost. Click clack is the get back, new attitude for blacks. Gotta bang for the way they treat us like animals. Police clapping beat us like animals. Police black with heaters to protect and to serve. Better know who your enemies are. Been too much talking, man. No talking, no more speeches. Candles, no marches, no more grieving. Parents, no sharks, no more calls for peace. Let's spark it and ride on these pigs till the wheels fall off. Collide for our rights till we rise above. Ain't no time for no talking, let's chalk them off. Back them off at the show to call till they recognize.
It's the night of a long night.
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 It's the night of a long night.
Night of a long night.
When we all come together, hope we don't collide. It's the night of a long night.
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 It's the night of a long night.
Night of a long night.
When we all come together, hope we don't collide.
One black man killed every 28 hours by pigs in these fake vigilante cowards, claiming they scared only after they profile us and beat us or worse, so we hit back first. Set it off with a Molotov homemade charge. Black when the scrap talk captain sword. Can't trust, so we bust on officers. Now they calling all cars suspects at large. So we blast first, then we ask questions last. Do like they do, mob and mash. Do like they do, ain't no pass. No stop, no frisk, just slap that ass. Cause we say gunplay's only thing that works. Squeeze, retreat, and gorilla spurts. Do a drive-by, clap and squirt. From the rooftop, shoot, nigga, get it work. It's the night of the long night. It's the night of a long night. It's the night of the long night. When the people come together, better watch your shit. It's the night of a long night. It's the night of a long night. It's the night of a long night. Ride and ride. We all come together, hope we don't collide. Incarceration, mass surveillance, massive, we just can't take it. Can't take the blame in the cold abuse. Can't take the slave rule in the pen for you. Can't take this police state, I can't lie. So here's an open letter to the FBI, to the pigs in the CIA and prison, to the force that enforce for the 1%. See, we see right through your bullshit. That's why we move and pull quick. No love for the people, now we had enough. Keep it incognito when we call you bluff. And let these motherfucking hot rocks hit your neck. Hold court in the street till you learn respect. That's a promise and a motherfucking soldier's threat. Gotta feel us to feel what we understand. We
it's
going
the night of a long night.
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 It's the night of a long night.
Night of a long night.
When we all come together, hope we don't collide. It's the night of a long night.
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 It's the night of a long night.
Night of a long night.
When we all come together, hope we don't collide. It's the night of a long night.
It's the night of the long night. It's the night of the long night.
When the people come together, better watch your shit.
It's the night of the long night. It's the night of the long night. It's the night of the long night.
When we all come together, hope we don't collide.
Because the only language America speaks is violence. The only language America understands is violence. So let's talk.
We want an immediate end. We are ready to die, or we're ready.
Hell of a fucking song. And for those of you that haven't seen the video, please go to YouTube. Check out their video. I really appreciate Paris.
Go to Gorilla Funk.
You posted the pictures of all the people, too.
It's a tribute. You know, it's a statement against police brutality. The video shows, you know, a lot of instances of police brutality. Then the video shows what I believe is the most effective response to that. And then it shows, you know, the people that we have lost along the way in a moving tribute, you know, because a lot of times in all this conversation about police brutality, we forget the victims.
Yeah.
There's more talk about, you know, Darren Wilson than it is about Mike Brown, you know, which is sad, but it's true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's necessary to keep the focus. And for anybody that wants to see the video and anybody that wants to be a part of a community that demands more from entertainment, specifically from hip-hop, and who wants, you know, some shit that speaks to how you feel, hit me up at GorillaFunk.com. That's GURRILLA, GorillaFunk.com. And the video is there. A bunch of other shit is there. A lot of the artists that you love and have come to expect a lot from are there. Come get with us.
Submit your email, and you'll have them on the mailing list. And you have a hell of a store, too. I encourage you guys. He's got the whole back catalog up there. And this is what I really like, too. You got the OG Bush Killer cover up there. With the Enemy.
Yeah.
Now tell the story for the people that don't know about
that's
that.
Funny, man, because I hit up Ice-T and shit, you know, I guess about a week and a half ago, because I just got on Twitter, you know, so anybody that hit me up on Twitter and they're like, well, shit, he don't have any followers because I just joined, motherfucker, that's why. I only been on there like 2 weeks.
Right.
And I went on there and, you know, instantly started reconnecting with a lot of cats I ain't been in touch with in a long time, and Ice-T was one of them. And it was a whole thing going down memory lane because we both got kicked off of Warner Brothers at the same time. Back in the early 90s, he got kicked off for Cop Killer. I got kicked off for Bush Killer. It was a particular point in time when the powers that be, you know, as cliche as that sounds, started realizing that, you know, hip-hop does speak to people and influences people. And, you know, the political voices that were being heard in hip-hop were having a very real effect on the youth back then. And, you know, we started, you know, very slowly and very insidiously started seeing a move away from positivity and consciousness to more gangsterism. And that's something that has plagued our communities to this day. And that's not saying I want everything to be like me or to be, you know, righteous and whatnot, because I don't. I think there's room for everybody. I don't want everything sounding the same. I just want there to be balance. And that's why I created Gorilla Funk. I ain't got to speak on anybody else and shit on nobody, you know. I just do what I do. And for those that want to come along for the ride, then come get with me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to respect that because you're offering people a lane, you know what I'm saying, that's different from what everybody else is doing. Everybody else wants to put out a song of a remix of Wiz Khalifa or whoever the fuck any of these guys are. And
I don't demean any of that. I think that, like I said, I think there's room for everybody. And I think that, but what I do know is that oftentimes music dictates the streets and not the other way around, you know, and the power that art yields can't be underestimated. You know, a lot of times kids know the words to every song, but they don't know words to, you know, they don't know the words to popular songs, but they don't know words to their school shit, you know, their lessons or whatnot. They listen to their musical heroes or their cinematic heroes, and what they say, what their heroes say is law. Oftentimes more so than their parents, definitely more than their teachers and clergy and, you know, anybody else that should have influence in their life. A lot of times, you know, the entertainment is what people emulate. That's what you try to be now. You know, that's the shit that speaks to your being. You know, and if it's good art, if it's effective art, it really can move you in one way or another. I get hella letters from people saying, I grew up on your shit, you know, and man, you know, thank you for the most part for you know, showing me that there's, you know, that there is a different way, that there was a different train of thought that I could have, that, you know, for opening my mind up to, you know, to being about myself and having knowledge of self as opposed to just going for the usual. And that shit is always sobering, and it always just kind of keeps me humble. You know, really am very, very thankful to still be able to reach folks, you know, and have people that are checking for me. So all is appreciated.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you got longevity in the game, you know. And you put out,
LL or some shit, but, you know, I'm trying.
Yeah, well, you know, Conscious Daughters, you know, I remember you put out the Pooh Man record back in the day. You know, so you cover all aspects of the game. Now, me and you, we were talking the other day about, you know what I'm saying, you making this video.
Right.
This is amazing visuals. Again, people, go to YouTube and check it out, Night of Long Knives. But what's in the future for you as far as film goes?
Well, I think that's the final frontier, honestly. You know, I love music. I got music in my blood. I mean, I've been doing it since I was a child, and I probably always continue to make music that I feel has something to say. You know, when I run out of things to say, then I stop making music. But music has been cannibalized, and you know, the outlets have imploded and basically shrunk down to such a select few that it really is not viable to just simply be a musical entity nowadays. It's not possible, you know, and you have to diversify, and you have to have more things going on. I'm not trying to sell perfume and sneakers and all that shit. So, and I still want to, you know, to have a creative outlet, and that creative outlet is looking more and more like it's going to be film. And so, you know, it's basically ammoing up and getting shit together and reaching out for folks that are, you know, one of the good things about having been in the game since the late 80s, basically, is that I got hella contacts, you know, and hella folks that I could reach out to and basically put a plan of attack together. And things seem to be going well. And, you know, and some of these most recent videos, the Don't Stop the Movement video, thanks to my man Corey Shaw, that is, you know, 3D modeling and, you know, chroma keying and green screen imagery and all that. So you make these videos that are very inexpensive, look like they cost hella money. Now, the same thing with Night of the Long Knives. You know, it's like there's an approach that you have to take to basically get the most bang for your buck, because everything that you create is digitizable and it's going to be shared for free anyway. That's just the reality of shit, you know. So you want to be able to be sure that you can stack the deck with quality content that people can get into, and filmmaking, not documentary films, because I'm cool on that. I'm talking about feature length motion pictures is the direction I'm trying to go in. You know, my distribution is still Universal, and I think Universal knows a little something about movie making. So shit, we'll see if I can't bridge that gap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. From looking at the video, I can definitely tell you got a bright future ahead in filmmaking for sure. Because, like, I mean, it looked like, I mean, if that video was in, let's say, 2000, even 2002, it would have probably cost $1.5 million to make. You know.
Hey, maybe so. I appreciate that. Well, shit, with good folks like you giving me shine, man. Shit, then maybe somebody actually be aware. You know,
but yeah, if you're listening out there, put some money behind this guy. He knows what the fuck he's doing. Yeah, a very, very powerful video. And Pistol Politics, you said you're looking to drop that in February. You sent me a couple more tracks. Do you care if I play another one? Or
Well, those are not from Pistol Politics. Some of those are from Acid Reflex, which was my last record, and I think one of them is from Sonic Jihad. Evil is from Sonic Jihad. The other ones are from Acid Reflex, which are all available at GorillaFunk.com. I don't know what you're about to queue up, but whatever it is, it'll slap for the moment, so go
for
it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll probably go with Evil, but I just want to touch on this first, too. For those of you that don't know, you put out projects with Public Enemy. You're on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members, Public Enemy. Man, what was it like working with Chuck? And was Griff involved at all, or was it just
Griff
Chuck?
Was involved. Griff is my man. You know, they all of them are good folks. I mean, shit, we all started. We really started together because Chuck saw Break the Grip of Shame, which was my very first single ever when I was on Tommy Boy, and we did a video for Break the Grip of Shame, and he saw it, and he wanted to get with my team to direct a video of theirs called Anti-Nigger Machine, which was on, I want to say Fear of a Black Planet, but I could be wrong. But Anti-Nigger Machine was their single, and he, you know, had me do a cameo in it. And that was kind of the beginning, you know, at the very beginning, the inception of my career. So he reached out for me out the gate. And I think that the fact we didn't collab a lot sooner was just basically due to distance. You know, this is before social media and all that, when cats actually had to pick the phone up. Hey, man, what's happening? My cassette is coming out tomorrow, you know. it wasn't on my email, you some MP3s and shit. It was like, hey, man, you know, the CDs.
You had to mail that shit overnight or something.
Exactly. But, you know, everybody has always been cool. And I flew out to Long Island. You know, I approached Chuck about being on Sonic Jihad. Let me back that up. Johnny Juice, who is one of his DJs and production partners, they were working on a song on Revolverlution, which was one of their albums a few albums ago, and they asked me to be on it, and I said, yeah. And then Sonic Jihad came out, and I asked them to be on that, and they said, yeah. And then I caught Chuck when he was out here in the Bay, and I was like, look, man, I said, this shit is a long time coming. I said, you have a lot of like-minded cats that need to be getting together and collaborating, you know, me and the Dead Prez, Cam and shit, Immortal Technique, and all these dudes that were kind of coming from this one particular direction, but did not have unity and didn't, you know, there was no kind of cohesive approach to how we all interacted. So I said, you know, this would be a major statement for us to all get down. And he was like, well, the only way it's going to happen is if you write it and put it together. And I was like, shit, say no more. So, you know, I did my best Chuck impression and got a lot of songs together, and then, you know, sent them out there. You learned them. We went out to Long Island and recorded them in the studio, him and Griff. And Flav was not a part of it. All of Flav's parts were pre-existing parts because I guess he's not as active in the group as he used to be. Plus he had some reality shit to do, whatever the hell he was doing, Strange Love or something. So we put it together, and Rebirth of a Nation was born.
MC Ren on there, I believe.
The daughters, MC Ren, Cam, Immortal Technique, Dead Prez, me and P.E.
That's amazing. That's a hell of a record. I mean, that right there is, you know what I'm saying, revolutionary hip-hop at its finest, you know.
I appreciate it. You know, I'm to the point now where I kind of got a bucket list of shit I want to do, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I got a George Clinton album that I produced that I'm going to be putting out. I haven't announced all of this shit yet, but I got a George Clinton album, you know.
Wow.
Supposed to have some inroads to Stevie Wonder. So I'm trying to just, like, break bread with cats that I've been wanting to deal with for a long time. I just hollered at Trey D the other day. I'm a huge Eastsiders fan. Contrary to what people might be thinking I'm into, I love that shit. I think that shit is slapping, right? So Trey D hit me up on Twitter, and we start chopping it up, and I think we're going to do something together. And
Prez, we need to get them on the show, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll send that info over. But
Much appreciated.
You know, I was always saying, you know, gangsters make the coldest revolutionaries when they turn. And I think there's a lot of mileage and shit to be had out of that situation, you know. So,
oh, hell yeah.
We're going to see what's happening.
Hell yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing that thing, too.
Yeah.
I would actually love to see you do something in the future with K Reno, if possible.
I hit him up and shit and friended him and whatnot, and we backed and forth just a little bit, and I keep hearing about him, but I never heard him. And we would touch down in, like, Australia and shit, and they'd be like, man, who's this K Reno dude, boop, boop, boop. I was like, well, I got to find out what he's about. So everybody is bound to happen because everybody is pushing us in that direction.
Yeah,
K Reno, he's the truth with that shit.
I'll send you some links to some of his songs because they're very powerful. You know,
yeah, I'm gonna seek him out. I'm gonna seek it out. You don't even have to do that. I'm gonna go online, and that's the one beautiful thing about the record store that is YouTube. Is you can go and find whatever the fuck you're looking for. You just have to look for it, right?
That's the issue.
You know, like you could walk into old school like Leopold's or Tower Records or some shit and browse, you know,
yeah,
and leave with bags full of shit and get home, and some of it is cool and some of it isn't, but you had that shopping experience, and now it's completely different.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And you kind of got to have some kind of idea about what you're looking for before you look, unless you just got a hell of time to wait, and I don't, and most people don't have time to just sit on YouTube for hours and shit fucking around, you know, so I'm trying to do what I can, you know, to stand out above the pack, and part of the way that I've always done that is to take this lane,
yeah.
You know, and just based on the response that I've gotten since this most recent video's come up. I mean, I've only been out 2 weeks, you know. I've only resurfaced for a couple weeks and shit, and the response has been overwhelming, and I know that there's a hunger out here for this kind of shit, especially with what's going on in the streets. So, all appreciated. Trust me.
It's more relevant now than it ever was. I mean,
yeah.
We all know the problems have existed, you know what I'm saying, since the beginning of humanity. But right now, shit looks like it's about to boil over. If you could take the America, it's like a pot of boiling water, and that shit is really about to boil over. Do you see martial law in the near future?
No, because I don't think that people are ready for any, they're not ready to challenge the system like that.
Yeah.
I don't think the will of the people poses that big a threat yet.
Not yet.
I don't.
Years,
I don't.
2 years, maybe.
You know,
decades.
I don't. Because people are too used to things being business as usual. You know, once the initial impact of the rage subsides, the people go back to their placid existence.
Like,
you know,
with Trayvon. No one talks about Trayvon anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Well, let's give him
sad, you know, but
no, it is,
it's
because he, you know what I'm saying, there's a criminal, murderous scumbag running around free, and he's never going to, you know, Trayvon's never going to come back to life and be with his family again. So, you know, there's no voice for him anymore like there was. But let's give him this song, True. Tell the people about this one real quick, and we'll go into it.
True?
Yeah.
True, I mean, true is self-explanatory. It is about being true and sticking to your ideals and never wavering from what you believe in. This is a song off of Acid Reflex.
Cop that album. Remember, go to GorillaFunk.com. Get all that shit. He's got a whole store full of music for you guys. So go there, check it out. Check out you know, YouTube. But here's True. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to California. The funk police will calico ya. The funk won't cease. We battle on the grounds of who it is that really own the town. Business, palm trees, 100 degrees. CIAs and PDs smuggling keys. Schwarzenegger still hustling scheme. Puffing the weed, feeling on women. Killing the whole Senate. I'm killing that old image you got. I know you think the West Coast started with easy and finished with pop. But think again, we got it just as hard out here. You act like the government ain't in charge out here, man. Pass the Molotov, light it up and throw it at the City Hall.
administration station, face the nation. I ain't talking about the president, I'm talking about the flag with the star and the crescent in it. Look at all the gangbangers siding with true cuz. Look at all the flamebringers riding with true blood. P-Dog done provided the truth of the true thugs and how they divide and confuse us. Yeah. Look at all the gangbangers siding with true cuz. Look at all the flamebringers riding with true blood. P-Dog done provided the truth of the true thugs and how they divide and confuse us. Put your purple back, partner, I don't smoke trees. No tank, no drink, no coke or speed. You know me, homie, sober and clean. A lot of G's want me on the team, but I don't roll with dope fiends. Imagine me going from Tookie to Pookie. I'm a threat, cause mainstream rejection didn't spook me. Rappers tried to make me switch and couldn't move me. Goofy salute me and true niggas choose me. Viewed to be the new Huey and Newsweek. We all speak truth, now listen to the truth speak. Full circle with the way I view beef. If you don't choose peace, you leave. But no front two teeth up in this motherfucker. Yeah. Gorilla funkin', we ain't never been no running ducker. Right. Now tell me what's so gangsta about bossing your bank account for some quick attention from the women while the people in the hood suffer. Look at all the gangbangers siding with true blood. Look at all the flamebringers riding with true blood. P-Dog done provided the truth of the true thugs and how they divide and confuse us. Yeah. Look at all the gangbangers siding with true cuz. Look at all the flamebringers riding with true blood. Right. P-Dog done provided the truth of the true thugs and how they divide and confuse us. Look here, what you think of bringing back the free breakfasts, the free food, free healthcare, free dentists, the homie Fleetwood got the homeboy hotline, the ex-felon job line, hit him on my face, important as I take part in the lifting of my race, past the high rate of incarceration and crime rate via my faith. So if you don't believe that we can struggle and achieve, then get out my face. So quick, so fast, you don't get no pass, you don't get more black, we'll kick your ass, then turn around and split your cash, in the hood with the mamas and the kids living with no dad. Frisco through Oakland, Vallejo through Oakland, they try to gentrify and then rebuild most Oakland, but it's still more fucking coke smoking in the open, fofos blowing domes open. Think about it. Look at all the gangbangers siding with true cuz. Look at all the flamebringers riding with true blood. P-Dog done provided the truth of the true thugs and how they divide and confuse us. Yeah. Look at all the gangbangers siding with true cuz. Look at all the flamebringers riding with true blood. Look at them. P-Dog done provided the truth of the true thugs and how they divide and confuse us.
Man, if you guys want some beats, if you want some verses, man, I suggest you get a pair of...
Right, that's the real shit, Pressy. See, I always like the man, it should still be... You know how I am, Press. I love for when the legends, they still making classic fucking music, man. I love that shit.
Oh, shit, right on. Man, that all is appreciated.
And, yeah, you do mixing, you know, verses, tracks. I'm looking at the website. Man, get at them, please.
Yeah, indeed, you know.
Get at them. And,
but give me some shit that you think is appropriate, though. You know, I can
exactly.
Trust me, man, I hear some
right,
shit,
motherfucker, like, just send you any kind of bullshit.
I'm like, motherfucker, you do know who you reaching out to, right? Because, you know, this shit
exactly.
is for me. But
do you ever get any
absolutely.
Garbage? Like, do you ever get any people that say
man, it's
some
pig's
just
ass
whack
pork?
Bullshit?
It's a pig's ass pork. Hell yeah, I get a bunch of shit. But you know what, man? I think it really depends on the spirit. Because I know a lot of times cats will come at me with something that's pretty thirsty, but their spirit is strong, you know. And they, if you really want it. And I know you're going to put the effort into it, then I'll fool with you, you know. But if it's something where you're just going through the motions because you, you know, because you can, then it's not for me.
Yeah. Now, when you put out Pooh Man back in the day, was there ever any, like, you know, okay, this dude's getting ready to go in on Too Short and that Banks and Goldie.
Actually, I didn't even know anything about that record.
Really?
We had a sub deal. For my my label is Gorilla Funk now, but back then it was Scarface, and we had a sub label deal at Scarface Records for other material that wasn't necessarily revolutionary, you know, and that was one of the sub label deals. I didn't do the deal. This dude that used to work with us, Scott Gordon, is the one that brokered that deal, and it was. What was the name of the Righteous Records? I think was the label.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're the one. It was he was their artist.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so I hadn't even really heard. I just kind of greenlit its ability to come out based on Scott giving me the thumbs up. So I never heard it.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a dope record. That was an actual dope
record. I mean, I have heard the record. Let me back that up. Of course, I've heard it, but I didn't hear it prior to it coming out. You know, it was a lot of shit that was giving a thumbs up out the gate just to build the catalog up. You know, from the Deep to C-Funk. So there's a lot of things that came out that didn't necessarily get a huge push either. You know,
yeah.
For whatever reason, things change, objectives change, people's visions don't necessarily mesh. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think when all is said and done, the things that we did that people most remember that resonate with folks were the right choices. So
yeah.
I don't have any regrets.
Conscious Daughters.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Spice One. You know, I did Spice One and shit, and people were like, "What? Like, why are you doing that?" And I was like, "Because dude is raw, and he's from here and shit, and you know, and his spirit was strong." I was like, "Fuck it, I'll do it."
Yeah.
So it was all good.
You did the Spice One.
I did Spice One. I did the Coup. Songs. I didn't do full albums and shit, but I've dealt with the hell
yeah.
people.
Yeah, oh yeah, you being right there, I mean, right there in the heart of the Bay, I mean, there's so much talent there, you know. What was it like coming up, you know what I'm saying, in the early stages of all that?
Shit, well, I'll give you a perfect example. So, my very first show was at a club called The Nightbreak on Haight Street in Frisco, and I got paid $75, and it was a maximum 150 capacity. That was my very first show. My second show was for 42,000 people.
Wow!
And that was at Summer Jam. So that was a fifth gear. I mean, you know, go from first to fifth gear, kind of a scenario back then. You know,
yeah.
where people were coming out and shit was, you know, just beating up the airwaves. You know, the kind of music that you just finished hearing from me. Is the kind of shit that actually used to get played on the radio, believe it or not, you know? And,
yeah, it did.
You know what I'm saying? And there was like room for everybody. There was, you know, E-40 and Foté and Digital Underground and Hammer and, you know.
I remember seeing you in Rap City all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And that, but of course, that is when BET, that's, you know, before Viacom, that's before the co-opting and the corporatization of hip-hop.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
definitely was.
You know,
there's a lot more expression.
And holler at my man. Yeah, and I could go holler at my partner. You know, Keith Michelle was one of the program directors up there. I could go holler at him. Look, man, look, this is, you know, look at this shit and tell me if you think it merits being on. And sure enough, I'd be on. And I can't even tell you. You know, I don't even think anybody black works at BET anymore. You know, I don't. Shit, really, and everything is so different and so corporatized, you know, and hip-hop is used to sell everything from burgers to sneakers and minivans and shit, you know, and it's just it's a very different environment now than it used to be.
One thing I really want to commend you on, too, is for going in on the Bushes. I mean, it's great. I love the deluxe version of Sonic T had. You got the Ring of Fire around Bush's head. And it's part of the inspiration. In 2011, we put out this Fuck the Illuminati compilation, right? And my brother,
right.
Six, he's the younger brother of Dream out of the Bay.
Okay.
And I gave him this vision to do the cover where you have a soldier, he's coming at you, but inside the belly of a soldier is a three-headed monster. And we should have took Bush, but we took Cheney, David Rockefeller, and the Queen of England and made this, like, three-headed demon and put it in the belly of the soldier. It symbolizes being the driving force of the soldier coming to get you. You know what I mean? So
right.
I definitely was inspired by cats like yourself, but I love the fact that you go in on these guys, man, and expose them for what they are, And I just want to say this, too, for people listening to the show. There's a wonderful documentary. It was just on TNT, or not TNT, I'm sorry, the History Channel the other day. The guy that wrote the Da Vinci Code had a show. I forget his name. But he was talking about how Prescott Bush was a member of Skull and Bones, and during World War One, he was at Fort Sill, where Geronimo was actually buried. He was actually held captive there the last 25 years of his life, too. Well, Prescott Bush supposedly stole the man's skull, and it's sitting at the tomb in Yale, the Skull and Bones house. But, of course, they won't DNA.
They're probably drinking beer out of it or some shit.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even bullshitting.
Smoking weed out of it.
Shit, that wasn't
right.
even a joke. I'm saying that's probably what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real shit.
Yeah, whatever, you know, whatever foolish, ridiculous shit that is. And, you know, it used to be a point in time when I think the mystery of that kind of thing scared a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I still think to a certain extent it does. Who the Illuminati, this mysterious, man, fuck them.
Yeah.
Get your soul up, man, and quit tripping off of this bullshit. Quit being afraid of the government. Quit being afraid of the police. Quit being afraid of motherfuckers and acting like they got some kind of real power over you and shit, you know? This country is in a sad state where we are afraid of authority. And authority needs to be afraid of the people.
Yeah.
And that's the main difference. Authority needs to be afraid of the people, and they're not. You know, everybody is chasing a dollar, and you know, and people have been so squeezed economically that they feel disenfranchised and they feel powerless. But nothing could be further from the truth. We got hella power. We just have to concentrate it.
You're right. We were supposed to have the power to be able to defend ourselves against a corrupt government, and that's not happening. You know, it's definitely not happening. But, Paris, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight.
Right on. See, you know, and just like you said, man, you said an hour's going to go by hella fast, and here we are.
Yeah.
I just called in. Shit. Well, that's okay.
That's how I appreciate it, man. That's how we do it. That's how we do it over here on this show, though. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, man? You're welcome.
It's so people can learn, too.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Anytime. And you can even come on and co-host with us whenever you want. You know,
I heard that. Well, I do appreciate that. And, you know, it's these kind of outlets now that keep the torch burning.
Yeah,
because you ain't gonna get it on TV, and you ain't gonna get it on the regular radio, and you're not gonna get it on, you know, most of these other internet channels and outlets. So, thank you for providing me a voice. You thanking me for coming on, but I'm saying thank you for being there, you know, and letting me, you know, say what I need to say, and others like me. So I appreciate that.
Huge honor. And one more time, if people want to get at you for beats or whatever, give them the website one more time.
Hit me up. It's gorillafunk.com, and it links to everything else. It links to YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and all that. But gorillafunk.com, come by and subscribe and be a part of a community that demands more. There it is.
Yep, I'm about to subscribe right now from my phone right now.
There it is.
Give them your email, you know what I'm saying, get the latest news, and please check out, you know what I'm saying, Night of the Long Knives video. You won't regret it. And share that
all
shit as
and
much
all of
as
that
possible.
Is on Gorilla Funk.
People need to see
do.
That.
Yeah,
I
spread it around.
Guys, share that shit everywhere you can, you know, forums, blogs. Get that out there as much as possible. We're gonna give them Evil, man. Why don't you take us out with this song, Evil, Paris?
Evil is from the album Sonic Jihad, and it is about the legacy of white supremacy globally. And it is basically saying it is a blow-by-blow account of what has gone down to further the cause of white supremacy. Not only in America, but globally. So this is Evil off of Sonic Jihad.
This is Evil, but I'm white, and I'm one of the good ones. So, the you know, I'm one of the good ones.
White
there,
supremacy
but...
does not mean white people, necessarily.
No, I know.
White
I
supremacy
know.
Is a concept that is, you know, well, I mean, I need to make that clear, because a lot of motherfuckers, my peers don't like white folks. And that's not the case. I love motherfuckers the way they love me.
Yeah, that's real
know?
Talk.
And so if somebody comes at me respectfully, then I'm going to return that respect. But if you come at me on that bullshit, I'm going to bury you. That's the page I've been on, man, since I started. So I do appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me on here, really, and providing.
Thank you, and thank you for, like we were saying, thank you for never wavering and sticking to the script with your music, because your fans like your music, and we appreciate you being you and doing what you do. Thanks a lot, Paris.
Right on. All right, be in touch, man. Y'all take care. Peace.
The gorilla funk orchestrated counterattack. Formulate and infiltrate them so the people react. See, if I was wicked, I would pick and stick to a plan. To rule the world and trick them, this is how it began. See, I'd have to find a way to keep the people enslaved. Behave, teach the baby, this my way of the grave. And start with the body working labor for free. And give them fake religion so they worshiping me. And see, and when the free labor play out, I let it go. But only after I made enough to control. Then I tell them that the afterlife is better than this. And that they should love their enemies when faced with contempt. I persist with some history that I would rewrite. In a school system where I keep the money too tight, I let them all know just where they belong in my world. Turn the boys into felons, making hookers a girl. Swirled up in my plan, build jails to keep all my prisons full of niggas, have them working for free. See, with ghetto economics in check, I keep them broke, teach them only to respect sports, music, and dope. Control the content of lyrics, now only the sound of sex, dope, and murder in a song is allowed. Tell them niggas ain't every move that they make, and that black is dirty, so they never try to be great. Can you relate? I'd laugh, watch a murder for scraps, set it up so they die over crack. I provide, do it right, and I see they try to be like me. Try to be the biggest G up in these murderous streets. I teach manhood means how many women you, how many babies you can make responsibility duck. A job, real men are pimps, that's what I teach. And if you want a trip, then if you just get beat, I see it all through, never lose and pass a new law. Give them three strikes so the men are constantly gone. Yeah, if I was evil, they would think I do no wrong. See, it's lethal how I keep them in their place so long.
I got my eyes on you and all the things that you do. I'm closing eyes on myself, all the emotions around me. So what I'm supposed to do when I can see right through? Expose the lies of snatch the shit. Find the emotions around me.
After all is said and done here and I could afford, I concentrate deeply on controlling abroad. I think about a way to take control of their land. I create a virus made to murder people in mass. Last time was Tuskegee, but now it's for real. House Bill 1509, no, we're just killed. With germs that would murder with sperm and blood drips. And kill them all, worse than burn, they die quick. See, to understand, you can witness the plan. Through the green monkey sham, they would think it began. And while we argue over the cost, they'd all die. With generations all being lost with no fight, I continue with the pain, make it all so plain. I manipulate the market for my capital gain. Keep the people all broken, confused, and underclass. Give my homies all executive bonuses through the crash. And if the heat get too hot, I plant a bomb or wreck a plane just like Hitler back in the day. And scare all the people, they forget about me. They forget about elections and the way that we cheated. See me blame it on a foreigner and non-white men. Celebrate my Gestapo with a positive spin. Then manipulate the media, it's U.S. first. Get the stupidest public to agree with my words. Then I make the play, taking all their freedoms away. Incarcerate anybody that'll get in my way. Make them censor any media that challenge the mold. Give them bullshit shows, just like Anna Nicole. Control the message in the music, it's gangster for show. Give them diamonds, never tell them about the conflict zone. Never tell them about the murder in Sierra Leone. Never tell them how the diamonds make a murder they own. It's all too easy, if I was evil, that's how I rock. Make sure that my propaganda won't ever stop it. Got 120 channels, but it's nothing to watch. Now 11:55 be the time on the clock, believe.
Hell of a fucking interview. Hell of a show. Bring back on Mac. That was as good as it gets over here. Shout out to Paris.
Yeah, man. On a Monday night, too, you know?
Yeah, Monday night, man. Well, you know, no rules. I mean, everybody knows... you know, Thursday's the night, but we're going to give it to him Monday. Shout out to Waco for Googling my name and finding that horrible fuck piece that was done on me.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
He got a bone to pick with you. You know he gonna kill you come Saturday.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Six should be on the show Friday. I'm not gonna tell y'all who's on it, but Thursday we got DJ Paul. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna make a return visit to the show. That's always fun to have DJ Paul on the show. It's just a hell of a show, man. Couldn't ask for a better show. It's definitely one of my favorites that we've done. You know, because like I said, I've been listening to his music 25 years. And for him to come out with a video in 2014, so visually powerful and visually strong.
And that video, hey, Prez, like I said earlier, he was clutching them things in that video. He gon'
Well, yeah. That's why I asked him, you know, when's the shit gonna jump off? And, you know, and
man,
he said, it's not gonna happen. I believe he's right because people got it twisted. You know, when you get
on
Twitter,
they're so set in their ways, man. They able to just say, I just want to get it back to normal. You always hear people saying that shit. I just want my life. Well, what the fuck is normal? If you call this shit normal, then what the fuck is you?
What the fuck?
A lot of this shit ain't
irregular.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, and plus, when you post on Twitter or Facebook, these CIA operative websites, when you post shit like, okay, we're gonna have a protest on the corner of so and so at 5 p.m., you're giving these motherfuckers a heads up. You know what I mean? You're giving them time to get shit in position to get those LRADs. I like in the song, Nine Long Knives, you hear, I believe it's the sound of the fucking LRAD. You know, that's that, for people who don't know what that is, that stands for Long Range Acoustic Device. And what it is, it's
mm-hmm.
see the Mac, you was telling me.
Yeah, they had them out here. I call them the human dog whistles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
is,
what I'm saying?
It's
like
it's
when the motherfuckers start
up
going
your
off,
equilibrium
they,
and.
Yeah, they disorient you. And then at the same time, they might throw flashbangs or disperse tear gas at the same time when they come up the block with the truck blasting that shit. So you got, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got different. And then not only when they do that, that's just to disorient you. That's not to even overcome you. They use that to get you scattered. And then they move in with the rubber bullets or whatever they got. You know what I'm saying? And I think they're going to stop. They're going to exchange the rubber bullets for the real deal. That's what I believe in, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, we're at a point in time right now where, like I was talking about earlier, the man with Down syndrome in the movie theater, they killed him. This was just a couple years ago. It was on the news for 20 seconds. It was something more like we saw, you know, on the internet, because you got to get your news sources on the internet. But I encourage people to fact check. Don't just believe anything you read. But what happened was there was this Down syndrome man. He was a overweight guy. He was in a movie theater. He didn't want to leave, and clearly, you know, the police officer could tell that, you know what, this gentleman has Down syndrome. So what do they do? They throw the poor guy down to the floor, get on top of him, and he basically asphyxiate the guy, kill him, and they got acquitted. So, these cops are getting acquitted, it seems like, every day for another murder. And now you got the young boy in Cleveland, which the headlines on the news are, the royal couple is going to come and see LeBron James play tonight. That should not be bigger than what happened to the 12-year-old boy. He had a pellet gun. If you see the video, I mean, they just roll up on this kid. They don't even give him an opportunity to put the pistol down. They just start popping him, you know. Now, I remember as a kid, I remember hearing, you know, we had realistic guns when we were kids, you know, before the orange tips. I'm sure you remember.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to Walmart or wherever and buy one of those silver caps.
We had actual cap guns where you were popping it. It sounded like you shooting.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, for real.
I remember hearing stories of cops, you know, shooting kids back in the day, too. But, you know, like you said, this is nothing new, but we're in the day and age of the video camera where everything is filmed. And clearly, you know, the boy was not pointing the gun at the police. You see him roll up, and he gets dropped, and he gets killed. And I saw an interview with his mom today.
She's wanting justice.
But what kind of justice can you get? You know what I'm saying? If someone murks my child, there is no type of justice you can give me other than giving me your liver so I can eat it raw like fucking Hannibal Lecter would say. That's the only kind of justice I want from you if you kill my child. I don't want you to go to jail. I want to eat your eyeballs.
Right, I want your fucking head on a platter, dog.
I want to stick a fork in your fucking... Yeah, you know. And I feel for that lady. I feel for that young boy's family because there's going to be another acquittal, folks. I mean, don't even act surprised. Don't even fucking act surprised because you know what's going to happen. And if the cop, by some chance, does go to trial...
They end up acquitting him anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, he'll be acquitted then.
They'll charge him, but then he'll get acquitted because all these police got to do now is say they think they were scared or they felt like it was. That's what I feel like. That's all this shit is saying is if the police think they fear in their life.
Oh, my life was in danger.
They can use excessive force against you.
Mike Brown,
that don't mean that don't necessarily mean they kill you all the time, but that don't mean even if they don't kill you or hurt you, that still don't mean they ain't violating your civil rights, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the police do it all the time. Like, me, myself, I've been blessed lately and lucky enough, I ain't had no contact with the police, but I don't necessarily put myself in a position to be dealing with them, but that don't mean I won't get pulled over and they start acting like a dick towards me. And then if usually when I'm legit and I know I'm legit, Prez, if I know the police wrong, I talk to them just like I talk to anybody else. But if I do that now, they could say they were scared for their life. And they fucking tase me or beat me the fuck up, lock me up for obstruction, and, you know, do all that old fuck shit.
Yeah. You're
just
at the mercy.
Just to try to intimidate. Yeah, we at the mercy of some cop having a bad day, pretty much. Maybe.
Yeah.
And even if I do piss a cop off, do that mean you got to kill me because of it?
No, exactly. You know, human life is you know, we're only given one life, you know. And a lot of these guys, you know, I think they get in the academy because it's thrill to them. You know what I'm saying? They want to fucking throw around their badge and their authority. And I'm not saying there's not any good cops. I know that there's some out there that genuinely want to try to do things. Like I saw this little video that this little girl called 911. Did you see that video? She calls 911, and you know, the operator calls back. And the little girl's about 5-6 years old. She started crying, saying she wanted a Christmas tree. Well, here comes two cops bringing her a Christmas tree and decorations. Now, is that propaganda? Is that okay, here's a piece to make the police look good, or was that some genuine shit? I don't know, but
it could be some propaganda, but it could be some real shit. But I just take my experiences. I know some cool cops. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a cousin that's married to one, but I'm pretty sure for everybody to say he a cool cop, somebody could probably say he a bad cop. Like, that's always your perception of the police in general.
Yeah,
when you come from certain areas, like. You don't realize there's some good cops until you come across a good cop. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't have to wait for something to happen for us to say, fuck the police, or, you know what I'm saying? All the police should be the same. Like, they work for us. They're supposed to be to protect and serve. But typically in certain areas and the way certain people raise, they don't come up with that thinking. Like, how many young children that you know, if you tell them, oh, here come the police, they are automatically looking like, oh, here come the police. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen people do that to their kids. And, like, how do the kids even know that police should be somebody you're looking around for? When we was kids, they tried to promote, you want to be a police officer, firefighter. I don't hear no kids growing up talking about they want to be the police no more. But they steady become police officers. Because, like you said, it's a little punk kid or somebody that got pushed around or something, and some of them, when they become police officers, they use that force or that authority that they got, and they go to their head and then over exert that force that they got.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, you know. But
and that's fucked up, man. It shouldn't be like that, but it that's the way it is.
Well, in you know, the taxpayers, we pay the salaries of you know, the police, but who actually do they protect and serve? You know what I'm saying? I think in the poor communities, what they're doing is they're making quotas. They're going out there,
mm-hmm.
they're pulling people over, trying to get as much drugs.
And
as
the only
can.
Thing they protect are their own personal interests, like banks. And
yeah,
shit like
yeah,
that.
Like,
shit that's
well, like
nice in the neighborhood.
In Ferguson, they were all there at the
yeah,
banks.
Yeah, they protect their interests. That's what I call it. They protect their interests, and everything else is just whatever. And
yeah.
the people have to just get whatever they can. And you always going to have ignorant motherfuckers anyway.
Yeah.
So in the midst of everyday motherfuckers living around, ignorant motherfuckers and the bullshit that's going on, people tend to stay by themselves and ain't nothing. That's why won't nothing happen. Like what Paris was just saying, the people too quick to be, let's get back to our own lives. And yeah, this is the topic of the moment. But like you said, they don't even talk about Trayvon for real.
No. He was quickly forgotten about. You know what I'm saying? Now you look at the Jews. The Jews are never gonna let you forget about the Holocaust. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck no.
They're never gonna let you forget about the Holocaust. You know what I'm saying? But Trayvon, you know what I'm saying, we all forgot about him real quick. You know what I'm saying? And other people, too. There's a lot of other people that don't even get the publicity.
Exactly. Just like look at Emmett Till, for instance. People didn't start talking about Emmett Till for real again until this shit with Trayvon Martin happened.
Or, yeah,
but they could have been talking about him every year. They could have been talking about him every... They only bring up Trey, like with Trayvon Martin. They forgot about him, but they brung him up again when the shit that happened with Mike Brown. And then the next time a black kid to get killed or something like this, they bring up Mike Brown again and Trayvon Martin and Emmett Till. Like, and it just, that's the only time. There's no continuation with the same problems that's been going on since way before we was even thought of. There's no continuation with it, and that's why they continue to get away with that shit, man.
It is. Because
it ain't been a real revolution since the Revolutionary War, for real, in the Civil War. Other than that,
no.
It ain't been no real revolution in this country.
Not in America. You know what I'm saying? You look at Myanmar, which is known as formerly known as Burma. They've been fighting a civil war for 60-some-odd years. And it takes Rambo to tell us this. It takes fucking Sylvester Stallone to put it in a movie to tell us this, because the goddamn media ain't telling us nothing about what's going on in Burma.
Yep,
you know
what I'm saying? Like my girlfriend, her dad, their country, they won their independence in like the early 90s. They was fighting civil war in Ethiopia and Eritrea for hella years. And
uh-huh.
But it ain't been no revolution here since the free slaves. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it ain't been no bloodshed on this land, man, for real.
Just genocide.
The only blood that's getting spilled is when the government spills it. That's it.
Yeah, just governmental genocide, governmental-created genocide, you know, and that's bad enough. You know, they always say America is the number one nation. Yeah, we're the number one in murders. We're the number one in people dying of cancer, the number one in heart attacks. We're the number one in all the negative shit. You know, but that's what it is, folks. That's our reality. We all have to live in it. Either we can either do something about it, or we just got to swallow the fucking pill, you know. And unfortunately, until everybody decides to click up and we forget about all this divide and conquer shit and come together, man, we're fucked. You know what I'm saying? The billionaire banksters and the elite, they got a stranglehold grip on this fucking... Well, this planet, really, to be honest with you. But I want to, you know, enough doom and gloom for tonight. I want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, shout out to Skinny. His birthday's tomorrow, you know what I'm saying. Hit up his page, wish him a happy birthday. But he'll tell you it's just another day to him. But, you know, he's a huge part of UGS. You need production. That dude right there is the guy I recommend. You know what I'm saying? Go to UGSforlife.com. We got a tab up there, you know, production, hit it, you know what I'm saying, get some beats from Skinny. But have
the one thing I'll say about Skinny, though, Fred, is Skinny a real dude because he do things because he like to do them to him. He don't do things just to, so he can get something up out of a motherfucker either.
No, you know what I'm saying?
He'll throw motherfucker shit. If, like, if he fuck with you, he fuck with you.
Yeah, so fuck with him.
And he ain't going for that okie doke shit.
He's not one of them types. No. If you're one of the people that are true to your word and you're real, and, you know, he's definitely one of those guys. But, you know, pay him. You know what I'm saying? Give him his money. He's got bills just like the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? You need mixing and mastering done. Of course, get at Jerry. You need artwork. You know I'm going to tell you, get at Six. That's the only motherfucker I recommend. Shit. Other than that, you know what I'm saying, check us out tomorrow and Wednesday. We got, you know what I'm saying, episode 61 and 62 of Underground Classics. So we got, this is the first time that BG has done two back-to-back
episodes.
We're
all week on their ass, ain't it, Fred?
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to stop because from now until next Monday, we're booked solid, you know what I'm saying, every night. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to try to get something popping next Monday, and I'm going to keep it going. You know what I'm saying? Any night we don't have a show, if we don't have Underground Classics, then we're going to have another Murder Master Music show, or we're going to have a KFYB Greatest Hits, or, you know, something to give the people every night of the week possible.
Right, and even if we don't have a show, they can just go to UGSForLife.com, and you can hear every show we've ever done right from now. So you can get your fix all week.
Yeah, definitely.
We like the Route 66 of this internet radio shit. You can get your kicks on Route 66. We got hella shows. You can just go from coast to coast.
Hundreds of shows, man. You know, this is tonight's episode 160. You guys, KFYB's past the 120 mark. Church of Reality is going to hit show number 80. Also, shout out to Dome, shout out to the webmaster, you know what I'm saying, for keeping the site going and keeping it up and running for us and doing what he does. And we couldn't do this shit without him, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no.
Shout out to all the supporters, you know what I'm saying, that support the show. Keep fucking with us. And shit, other than that, you know what I'm saying, we're out this bitch. We'll see you guys shit Thursday with DJ Paul, but tomorrow, tune in 9 p.m. Central Underground Classics, episode 61. We'll see you guys Thursday. Peace.
UGS for life, you bitches.